Bring greetings to you this morning in the name of Christ, the builder of the church and also the builder of the home, master builder, and certainly we consider it a privilege to be here this morning and a blessing to worship with you. Bring greetings to you also from the Santa Fe Mennonite Church, Lake Butler, Florida, and certainly prior to going into the message, we would request an interest in your prayers. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, that is being done, and God is opening doors and closing some doors, but thank you for praying, and thank you for your interest, and I know that you have interest of your own as well in reaching out and helping others, and that's part of the call of the church, is to reach out and help others, plus nourishing and feeding those within the church family and helping them along as well. The subject this morning, I realize that there's a varied group of representations here in various stages of life. We have infants, we've got children, we've got young people, we've got unmarried people, we've got marriage, we've got parents who are in the heat of the day, have parents who don't have children, and we have grandparents, and I suppose we've got some great-grandparents here, and maybe even more, I don't know, but anyway, there's various stages. And I believe that we all have an interest in this subject this morning, and I'd like to title the subject, Child Nurture That Fosters Respect. And while some are on the looking toward that side, we have others who are in the heat of the day, and we have others who have moved beyond that, grandparents and great-grandparents who no longer have children at home, but they have grandchildren, have great-grandchildren, but that's also a concern. And each of us have a concern in relation to a child nurture that fosters respect. To introduce the outline, there's basically four points that we'd like to consider. One is we'd like to spend a little bit of time on the introduction. Then we would like to look at guidelines to creating disrespect in the lives of the children. Then we would like to look at helps to nurturing children that will produce respect. And then we would like to close with evidences of effective parental involvement in training their children. Now I realize that as a visiting minister, we try to think of subjects that would serve as an inspiration and encouragement, and sometimes it's a little bit hard to know what to choose to speak on. But when I thought about the subject of nurturing children, it has such a vast implication and so important. And I know that there's a number of children, young people here this morning. There are young parents who are in the heat of the day. And we would like to not necessarily look at this subject as a type of being critical of those areas that may be weak, that parents may be weak in, but rather come through as an encouragement to strengthen those weaknesses that are experienced and realized in family life. In the introduction, I'd like to introduce and stimulate our thinking what may involve what we're going to talk about. And first of all, we're going to be directing this question to the fathers. Now, what can I, as a father, do to cultivate respect and confidence in and of my family. Now, I'll take that in a personal way, fathers. What can I, as a father, do to cultivate respect and confidence in and of my family? Now, to mothers, what can I, as a mother, do to cultivate an openness and a closeness in our family relationships? In our observation, there are various families where there is much to be desired when it comes to close family relationships. And then praise God for those families that are role models in having close, healthy family relationships. Does that come automatic? No, it takes a working together. Those are some of the things we'd like to talk about this morning. Now, we don't want to leave the children and the young people out when it comes to some of these questions and stimulate our thinking. The question now for children and young people is this: what can I do to make it easier for mom and dad to perform as they should in our home? What can I do as a child, as a young person? What can I do, what can you do to make it easier for dad and mom to perform or to work as they ought to in the home? There are times, obviously, that I must admit that I didn't always make it easy for dad and mom. But as a dad and as a grandparent, if I would have some things to do over, I would certainly do it different. We mentioned this at home a few times, and one of our young brethren, young fathers, said that I would like to have you give a sermon sometime on what you would do different if you had to do over. Something for you to think about. Now, again, I would like to say that in sharing this message, I'm not implying as having attained in that which we plan to say this morning. And this message, again, is not intended to criticize, but rather to give encouragement to parents who may realize weaknesses that may need strengthening while in the heat of the day. As we look at child nurture and that fosters respect, there are three important aspects of parental involvement in the nurturing of children. Number one, a godly fathers and mothers are, number one, they're kingdom builders. Secondly, godly fathers and mothers are character constructors. And number three, godly fathers and mothers are soul winners for the Lord. Now, in looking at this title, Child Nurture That Fosters Respect, I would like to maybe reword the title and state it a little bit like this, which would incorporate some of the words that maybe we have a little problem in properly understanding, but let me give it, it's rather lengthy, but let me reword child nurture that fosters respect like this: educating or training our children that promotes the growth or development of a high regard for others. Now, does that help to explain what we're talking about? Child nurture that fosters respect. Educating or training our children that promotes the growth or development of a high regard for others. Now, I'd like to insert a thought here that was just a new thought to me as I looked at this subject this morning again in preparation. Could it be the lack of this be reasons for some of the problems or difficulties being seen in marriages, in home life, in church life, and schools? A lack of respect and high regard for others. You know, selfishness and individualistic concepts and practices go hand in hand. Is that true or false? Could it be that we are seeing, that we are reaping, and God forbid, I don't want to be critical in any way, but it seems to me as we look out over and take our society and it moves on into some of our church circles where there's a lack of somehow getting through to the children respect or having a high regard for others. Now, I don't want to say that critically, but we're living in a very permissive time of life, and it can affect home life. And there's reasons possibly for a lack of that, but a lack of a high regard for others can contribute to some of the difficulties that we're facing today in marriages and home life, at church life, and in schools. The subject of nurturing our children is highlighted by father and mother's joint interest in an effort in nurturing their children that fosters respect. Again, nurturing involves four exercises. Number one, nurturing involves love for the child. Secondly, nurturing involves the exercise of discipline. Thirdly, nurturing the child involves the exercise of teaching. And then fourthly, the nurturing the child involves the exercise of example. More is caught than taught. As a parent, we have only one opportunity with each child. Have we considered the cost to our children and to ourselves if we fail to train them properly? These are questions that every parent needs to consider. Obviously, in the heat of the day, when parents are involved in nurturing their children to respect, there are so many decisions that they're faced with. And there's a couple things that come to that face us as parents, young parents especially, when there are decisions that need to be made. I don't know if you enjoy conflict or not. I don't like conflict. And my natural tendency is to withdraw from anything that develops or feeds conflict. I guess I'm not a debater. And a brother this morning said in the devotional that sometimes he finds it hard to put his thoughts into words, and I find that too. You're not alone, brother. But there are decisions that need to be made. And in those times especially, parental involvement in nurturing children, a decision can be made to take the path of least resistance, compromise, to relieve the pressure. The other side in making decisions is to keep a vision, to keep a focus, making decisions with eternal implications, long term. How's this decision going to affect the child in life? There's a question I'd like for us to consider is this. Which way shall I take when it comes to making decisions? The second question is this. When I get there, will I be where I want to be? The decision that I make. And the decision that I make in nurturing our children, will they be where we want them to be with the choice that I've made in helping them or not helping them? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 22, the Bible says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." In essence, we need to take God's way, and that's the Word of God. I'd like for children to participate in reading these few verses from 12 and under. That means that if you're older than 12, that this doesn't apply. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you have your Bibles, you could open your Bibles. And we're going to read this verse together. I'd like for the children, 12 and under, to join me in reading these three verses. I'll try to go slow enough so that you can follow along. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And then fathers and mothers, you get ready, because we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. All right, children, are you ready? 12 and under. Children, whoops. Okay, go ahead. You read it with me. Children, obey. Don't we have any 12 years and under? A lot. Okay, Brother Harry says lots of them. All right, where are you? Maybe I didn't hear you. Maybe you're talking and I didn't hear. I know I'm not the best. I don't have good hearing. All right, let's do it this way. 12 and under. Well, let me see. We get down to infant stage. That doesn't include you, obviously. But let's read. Those of you that can read, 12 and under, could I have you stand? Where are you? Okay. Anyone else? 12 and under, and those of you that can read. Okay, well, there's a few. All right, thank you. And you're important. All right, let's read. All right, you read with me. Now, I don't want to be the only one reading. No, you read with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you understand what this verse says? Do you understand what it says? Do you understand what it says? Do you know what it means? Do you think you can do that? Sure you can. And you have been. I'm sure you have. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, fathers and mothers, let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I know it doesn't say mothers here, but you're included. Parental involvement. Now, we go back to verses 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents of the Lord. Does that come automatically without some training? No. The parental involvement teaches the children that they are to do exactly what verses 1 through 3 says. And that's parental involvement. And they have that responsibility. Fathers and mothers, nourish your children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The standard for godly living includes respect and is parental responsibility to their children. Respect is dependent upon an individual's attitude and concept of God, of others, and of themselves. Now, there may be five reasons why, or more, why there is a lack of respect in children today. Now, we would trust better things of your children here. But I know children, in our observation, in our own homes, The Bible says that a child that is left to himself bringeth his what? Mother shame. So children basically are the same if they don't have training, if they don't have parental oversight. There may be five reasons why there is a lack of respect in children today. I'd like to share at least five of those. Number one, there may be a lack of self-discipline on the part of the parents. Number two, maybe a lack of love for the child. Number three, the parent may be simply lazy, lacking motivation, or the time to be there for the children. Number four, another reason why there may be a lack of respect in children today is because of a spiritual related problem such as unconfessed sin or inconsistencies in the life of the parent. And number five, a lack of knowledge or simply being ignorant, not knowing. Godly homes ought to be models, ought to be the models of respect in every area of life. Godly homes. Now, I'd like to go to the positive side of this subject, and that is directives to creating. No, I misread that. This is not a positive. To create disrespect guidelines. That's not positive at all. But I want to simply share some directives to creating disrespect in the lives of the children. Number one, be the example that will show the children what it means to have little or no regard for others. Parents, either side, you have no regard for others. That's the example that we're leaving for our children. Number two, be inconsistent with what is expected from or in the child. Number three, allow our frustrations to be taken out on the children. I feel sorry sometimes when I know, I've seen it happen, where children become victims of their outbursts of the parent to release anger and to release frustration and to release their impatience. And the child becomes a victim. Number four, making degrading remarks to or in the presence of the child. Number five, allow the children to backtalk or argue with the parent. Number six, don't insist on obedience. Number seven, consistently defend your children in their presence. Number eight, misuse of your parental authority. And number nine, abusing children by neglect, by rejection, by assault or brutality, immoral abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. Someone has said that what we say and the tone in which we say it carries maybe more weight than what we say. Someone has said like this, that 90% of the tones in what we say has an effect. Might say it like this, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. Parents that are cruel or severe often have problem children. To regain respect is simply to reverse these directives along with apologies. And that would be the positive side. Now, number three, helps to nurturing children that will produce respect. Number one, what can we do as a parent in nurturing our children that will produce respect? Number one, when parents realize the urgency to do so. Parents are responsible. And it's so important to recognize and realize time when it comes to nurturing our children. We are told that by the age of three, parents have done more than half of what they will ever do for the child. That's mind-boggling. The first 3 years, parents have done more than half of what they will ever do for the child. And before the fourth year, the child receives his knowledge of right and wrong solely by imitation. More is caught than taught. The child of 6 years has just as quick perception as an adult. The child receives 75% of his education by the time he is 7 years old. And the memory powers of a 10-year-old will never be surpassed. And I'm impressed time and time again when our school children get up to have a program and their memory abilities. My, I think they are blessed. But they also have good memories in other things as well. Number two, when the father and mother become involved. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read just a few verses here. Chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. The Bible talks about parental involvement and responsibility. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Who could be included in this admonition and instruction other than the parent? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Whose heart? Now look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently again, again, and again unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Parental involvement, responsibility. That's addressed here in these verses. Now, number three. Helps and nurture children that will produce respect when parents cultivate a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Psalm says something like this, Psalms 48, verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Number four. When father and mother desire all that God would have them to be. Number five, when parents cultivate an awareness of their dependence upon God. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which does what? Strengtheneth me. And that includes nurturing our children. I can do all things through Christ. And you know what? When we rely upon God for a dependence in helping us to nurture the children, that means that no child in our godly homes with godly parental involvement should ever go through life without hearing dad and mom mention their name in prayer. Praying for your children daily. Your children, our children, they need to hear their names mentioned in prayer. And children and young people, it's a blessing when parents hear mom and dad being prayed for by the children. It's a blessing. And encouragement. Number six, when parents love their children. In Titus chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says that they may teach the young women, it's talking about the older women, to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. The superintendent of a home for juvenile delinquents said this, love is a major need of these boys. Their parents will give them a car, but won't say, I love you. Fathers, your sons, your children, your daughters need to hear you say, I love you. Your wife needs to hear that. But you might say, well, she knows that anyway. I don't have to tell her that. Well, yes, you do. Tell your wife, I love you. And wives, mothers, the same way with your children, your daughters and your children. Tell them, I love you. They need to hear that. Some families meet physical needs but neglect spiritual and emotional needs. Number seven, when parents cultivate an appreciation and love for the church. We'll have a little bit more to say on that later. Number eight, when parents recognize the work of instructing their children as a blessing and joy rather than that which is to be endured. I've heard parents say, oh, I just dread the day when our children will be youth. I don't know about you, but it's a blessing all the way through to be able to connect and to relate in a healthy way to children, to young people, to in-laws, and to grandchildren. It's a blessing. Number nine, when parents are and live the way they want their children to be, again, I'd like to say more is caught than taught. Not only should dad and mom talk the walk, but should walk the talk. By example, we said earlier that before the fourth year, the child receives his knowledge of right and wrong solely by imitation. We have a son-in-law who's a logger. And a number of years ago, we were out in the woods, and a little three-year-old was along. And so our son-in-law said, watch this. So he goes up to the tree, and he kicks the tree three times and then looks up. And then guess what? This little three-year-old goes up to the tree, kicks it three times, and looks up. More is caught than taught. A child remembers 10% of what he hears, 50% of what he sees, 70% of what he says, and 90% of what he does. I repeat that before the fourth year, the child receives his knowledge of right and wrong solely by imitation. He remembers 10% of what he hears, 50% of what he sees, 70% of what he says, and 90% of what he does. Number 10, when father and mother have learned how to relate to their own needs in matters of self-control, self-discipline, respect for authority, integrity, sacrifice, or love for others. You know, children this morning are quite often smarter than what we parents give them credit for. Be surprised how young and how much they catch on, and we don't think they're getting it. But they got their little ears tuned, and you don't have to say much. All you have to say is a word or two, and they know what you're talking about, at least to a degree. Children will show respect like they see mom and dad show respect to others. How the parents relate to each other. Can the mother teach the children respect when she does not respect her husband's leadership responsibilities in the home? Can the father teach the children respect when he does not respect God and his word? Can parents teach their children to respect and obey the, in our church we call them standards, but I think in yours you call it Pilgrim Conference, you call it decrees to keep, is that what it is? Okay. Can parents teach their children to respect and obey the standards or the decrees to keep of the church they are affiliated with if they are dragging their feet? Children soon catch on as to how much parents value the church. Can parents expect their children to grow up respecting and appreciating, and I hope you understand this next word, next term, conservatism, in all aspects of church life, when they criticize those who may be upholding a more conservative view and practice? It has been said that parents becoming critical of conservatism will likely produce a generation of liberals. You think about that. Can parents expect their children to respect and obey their authority when children see a lack in their parents? We're talking about nurturing children that produces respect. Number 11, when the father loves the mother of the children, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, I'd like to make this suggestion as a question to you. Your husband is to love you, but what can you do as a wife to make it easier for your husband to love you as he ought? What can you do? Now, we could look at the husbands and we could say, we could ask this question. Husbands, what can I do to make it easier for my wife to come under the umbrella of my leadership responsibilities? That's the other side. What can I do to make it easier for my wife to come under the leadership, under the umbrella of my leadership responsibilities? Number 12, when the mother willingly accepts God's order for her in the home, the Bible talks about the wife's relationship to her husband. Wives, submit yourselves. That doesn't mean become a slave, but that simply means to arrange under the order that God has placed in the home and that marital relationship. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Can the mother teach children respect when she does not respect her husband's leadership responsibilities in the home? This is observed by the children, how mom relates to dad. A personal experience, I hesitate to use those, but I'm going to do that in this particular instance. Years ago, I was having a children's meeting in a certain church. The children were up front, and I forget what the subject was about, what the illustration was about. It was an object lesson of some type. And one of the little boys spoke up, and he was not bashful, and he was not intimidated by what he said, but he said, "My dad and mom fight." And they were both in the audience. Everything got real quiet. Children pick up what goes on behind the four walls of that house. They know. They know when they see dad going to church with his plain clothes on, plain suit, and he talks in public, they know whether he's the same man in the church service as he is at home behind the four walls. They know that. And if we as husbands, being transparent and genuine in our walk with God, we have nothing to hide. Transparency is nothing to be ashamed of. And so it's so important that we as husbands, as fathers and mothers and wives, are the same in public or private. When parents confess, number 13, their wrongdoing or failure, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed, or that strained or broken relationships can be restored, amended. Number 14, when parents recognize the value of consistency in matters of discipline. Parents, fathers, and mothers, never use your authority to get personal vengeance on a child. Sometimes parents punish simply because they have been inconvenienced or embarrassed by the child. I remember years ago being in another church service where there was a father who had a problem with sleeping. He fell asleep. He had his little boy sitting beside him. And all of a sudden, I heard a wham. And I looked at him, and the little boy was startled. But the dad woke up, and he used his little boy to cover up that he was asleep. My understanding is some of those children didn't turn out very well. Sad. Number two, never punish the child in a fit of anger. It's wrong to punish a child in anger. I've had enough. And so, here we go. Wham, 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 wham. And the parent finds a release of pressure for the present, but not for the child. Sometimes parents beat a child, or worse, in a fit of rage. Others yell, they scream, they clench their teeth, they kick, they pinch, and lose control. Actually, that's an abusive situation. Such parents are not likely to act for the child's good and will not produce right results. Is it any wonder that there is a loss of love and respect, and in years to come, a breakdown in what should be a healthy relationship? Never use authority just to satisfy the desire for power. I need to move on. Number four, never act out of partiality. Parents seem to dominate children just to prove that they are boss, to satisfy their ego, or to impress their friends. Like dictators, they get a thrill out of just controlling others. When parents do that, they have disobeyed God's law of love. And secondly, because they unnecessarily discourage their children. And thirdly, because they are not likely to gain the child's respect and obedience. Number 15, when parents nurture their marriage relationships. And number 16, when parents instill in their children a proper reverence and respect for God. Now we're going to look in closing at evidences of effective parental involvement in child training, or in training their children. We're going to move through these rather quickly. Number one, the child will respond favorably. Number two, the child will be relaxed and cheerful. Number three, the child is willing to share. Number four, the child will respond promptly. Number five, following a disciplinary action, the child will not have a prolonged period of crying. Number six, children are content without having a lot of toys to play with. Number seven, a child who is able to control his emotions and actions properly. Number eight, teenagers will have a respect for the elderly and feel relaxed in their presence. And number nine, the parents are at rest. The parents are at rest. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, the Bible says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. I don't know how many of you remember late Brother Henry Weaver, but he made this statement, and I appreciated that. He said, the crown of success is when the next generation comes to know God and understand his way in glory. This morning, those of you parents who are in the heat of the day, Our encouragements are with you. And may God bless you with courage, with strength, with wisdom, with a vision, with the courage to do what you know you ought to do and need to do for the sake of the child's eternal spiritual welfare. God bless each of you in a special way this morning, and we appreciate so much our children and our young people and our parents and our grandparents who are standing by giving encouragement and being the example, the blessing. May God continue to be with you. And thanks again for being faithful to the Lord and stay on the glory way. You have a posterity that's following, that's looking to you as parents for that direction to make it to glory.